aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail, and the sergeant will be instructed to bring in the absent members. Today's chaplain is Senator Gary Kubley. And following the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Shall we pray? Creator, Redeemer, and Indwelling Spirit, here we are again, near the close of another session. Often frustration runs high this time of the year, Lord. We sometimes become angry with those who oppose us and think unkind things about our colleagues. We might say to ourselves, if I ever have a chance to get even with them for that. And so we harbor yet another grudge. Some of us remember those things we've done to others or those things we had done to us for a long time, Lord. Do you pity those of us with memories like elephants? Many of us decry our inability to remember names or faces. But today, Lord, we ask that you help us to see that there is value in having a poor memory. There are things we'd be better off if we just forgot about them. Teach us anew the story of Jacob and Esau, of forgiveness offered and forgiveness accepted. Your forgiveness comes to us as pure gift, O God. Can we learn to offer that same forgiveness to our political opponents, our colleagues here in this chamber? In this day, dear God, we ask your Spirit to help us celebrate your love, your forgiveness, and your mercy. And as it relates to those things done by us or those things that we feel were done against us, we ask that you teach us also to learn the values of having a poor memory. In your strong name, amen.
Secretary will take the roll.
Senators Buck, Benson, Berglund, Bonhoff, Brown, Carlson, Chamberlain, Cohen, Dames, Daly, DeKreif, Dibble, Fishbach, Gazelka, Gerlach, Gimsey, Goodwin, Hall, Han, Harrington, Higgins, Hoffman, Howe, Ingebrigtsen, Jungbauer, Kielash, Koch, Cruz, Kubley, Langseth, Latz, Lilly, Limmer, Laurie, Magnus, Marty, McGuire, Metzen, Michelle, Miller, Nelson, Newman, Nino, Olson, Ortman, Pappas, Perry, Peterson, Pogamiller, Reinert, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Saxog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Sparks, Stump, Thompson, Tomasoni, Torres, Ray, Vandeveer, Uyghur, Wolf.
A quorum is present. Moving to the second order of business, executive and official communications. They are printed on page 1 and 2 of today's Senate agenda. Please make note of those communications. The third order of business, messages from the House. The Secretary will read the messages.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file herewith. Return Senate file 1308, a bill for an act proposing an amendment to the Minnesota Constitution. Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives. Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House has acceded to the request of the Senate for the appointment of a conference committee consisting of 3 members of the House on the amendments adopted by the House of the following Senate file. Senate File 1045, a bill for an act relating to commerce. There has been appointed as such committee on the part of the House, Hoppe, Sanders, and Lilly. Senate File 1045 is herewith returned to the Senate. Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives. Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House has acceded to the request of the Senate for the appointment of a conference committee consisting of 3 members of the House on the amendments adopted by the House to the following Senate file. Senate File 1280, a bill for an act relating to employment. There has been appointed as such committee on the part of the House Anderson S., O'Driscoll, and Stensrud. Senate File Number 1280 is herewith returned to the Senate. Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House refuses to concur in the Senate amendments on House File Number 1381. House File Number 1381, a bill for an act relating to education. The House respectfully requests that a conference committee of 5 members be appointed thereon. Erickson, Depke, Downey, Myra, and Mariani have been appointed as such committee on the part of the House. House File Number 1381 is herewith transmitted to the Senate with a request that the Senate appoint a like committee. Albert A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Olson.
She was walking.
Madam President, I move that the Senate accede to the request of the House for a conference committee on House File 1381, that a conference committee of 5 members be appointed by the subcommittee on conference committees on the part of the Senate to act with the conference committee appointed on behalf of the House.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Moving to the 8th order of business, the introduction and first reading of Senate bills. There are several printed on today's Senate bill introductions. They will be referred as indicated. First reading. Moving to the 9th order of business, motions and resolutions. There is one author's amendment printed on page 4 of today's agenda. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Bonhoff.
Madam President, I move that House File Number 191 be withdrawn from the Committee on State Government Innovation and Veterans, given a second reading and placed on general orders.
Any explanation on that motion, Senator Bonhoff?
Madam President, this is a provision that was in the state government and finance bill. It was the IT consolidation, the data consolidation. This bill is now, uncertain as to the overall state government bill is uncertain as to its fate. And so yesterday on the House floor, this provision was taken out and passed on its own. It was passed on a bipartisan way, and there was some amendments to the original bill that took the fiscal note down to zero. There was actually an amendment put to this bill that said there would be a reduction in chief information officers statewide over the next 2 years to reduce the overall fiscal note down to zero. In addition, there was comfort language put in with regard to outsourcing this project that allowed MAPE to give their support to the bill. And so with that, I would ask for the body's support.
Senator Bonhoff renews her motion that House File 191 be withdrawn from the Committee on State Government Innovations and Veterans, given a second reading and placed on general orders. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. We will revert to the 7th order of business, second reading of House bills. House File 191, second reading. Remaining under motions and resolutions, Senator Koch.
Madam President, I would move that we recess to the call of the chair members. Republicans will be caucusing in room 318.
Senator Koch has moved for a recess to the call of the chair. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. We are in recess.
And I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the sergeant at arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Sergeant is instructed to bring in the absent members. Remaining under motions and resolutions, we'll take up messages from the House. The Secretary will read the messages from the House.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate files. Herewith return Senate File 477, a bill for an act relating to health. Senate File 612, a bill for an act relating to health. Senate File 881, a bill for an act relating to public safety. Albin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives. Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file. Herewith return Senate File 799, a bill for an act relating to higher education. Albin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives. Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file. Herewith return Senate File 1159, a bill for an act relating to workers' compensation. Albin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives. Yes, I did. Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate File 1197, a bill for an act relating to energy. Senate File 1197 is herewith returned to the Senate. Albin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the Senate concur to the amendments by the House to Senate File 1197, and that the bill be placed on its repassage as amended.
To that motion, Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, you have the changes, the amendment, the bill on your desk. It just came over from the House. If I could, I'd like to run through that real quickly. And it was a bill that we passed off and have made some changes. It worked very hard with the Governor's Office and the Department of Commerce. And it's a good bill, members. The Section 1 is the software sale fund. That was a department provision, and that was in the old bill. Sections 2, 3, and 32 are the renewable development fund freeze that we passed off this body several days ago for the renewable development fund, where we're going to just look at it over the interim and figure out who's in charge of the money and where it's going and what kind of projects. The House did not have that provision at all. They didn't get that passed off, so we put it into this bill, and that was a vote that had 100% vote out of this body. Sections 4, 24, 25, and 26 repeals the Reliability Administrator and Intervention Office, and this is a provision that came from the Department of Energy Resources. This is something they want. It also extends the assessment authority for another $1 million till 2015. And we heard this bill, members in committee, for my energy members here. We did hear this bill. We had sent it to the floor. The House had put it into their energy omnibus bill. And that was a compromise for the department and for the House on our side.
Excuse me, Senator Rosen, just a moment.
Sure.
Members, it's a little noisy. I can barely hear Senator Rosen myself. So please, let's just keep the noise level down slightly. Senator Rosen, I'm sorry about the interruption.
Thank you, Madam President. Section 6 is the co-op rate regulation vote repeal. That is Senator Bach's provision that we took on the omnibus bill. Section 7 is the electronic billing notification, Senator Brown's provision. Sections 8, 18, 19, and 31 is the Conservation Improvement Program large users exemption, which allows large gas and electric customers to be exempt from this SIP program and provides a roadmap for long-term exemptions without further reporting requirements. It was a major negotiated concession for the department and for the governor's office. They worked very hard with this provision, and it's very important for us to have this in for our job creation and our big, large energy users. It primarily addresses the ethanol plants, petroleum refineries, mining facilities, and timber product facilities. Section 9 is the Energy and Emission Control Products Cost Adjustment. That was Senator Benson's provision, also in the old bill. Sections 10 and 22 is the Charitable Contributions, Senator Jungbauer, in the old bill. Section 11, 17, and 24 is the Inverted Block Language Repeal. And this was another compromise.
Senator Rosen. Members. You did not heed my my warning earlier. Please, is Senator Rosen, I don't think, can hear herself. She's even looking around trying
to figure out. This is a great bill, too, Madam President.
Senator Rosen.
The inverted block language, thank you, Madam President, is another compromise piece of language between the department and the governor's office and ourselves, and it does not affect the Center Point's three-year pilot project. Section 12 is the multi-year plan, which was Senator Benz's, that was in the original bill. Another obvious project that needs to go forward, and it passed out of this body 57-0, gives the public utilities the option to propose a multi-year rate plan as opposed to a single test year. It's limited to 3 years, and it can't begin until June 1st of 2012. And this plan would allow some integration of long-term projects and mitigate the use of infrastructure construction recovery through rate riders. Section 13 is the nuclear study, Senator Howe's provision in the old bill. Section 14 is the WAPA power, Senator Carlson in the old bill. Section 15 is the rate impact compliance report, Senator Benson. Section 16 is the innovative energy project, which allows the existing attained state permits for an innovative coal gasification plant to be applicable to the first phase natural gas plant. And this language was in the House bill and received an informational hearing in the Senate Energy Committee. It was, again, another compromise and supported by the Department of Commerce and the Governor's Office. I'm almost done.
Senator Rosen, excuse me, members, Senator Rosen is almost done. And
it's that corner over there, Madam President.
If we please, really, just so that Senator Rosen is distracted by the noise, and we'd love to get through this bill soon.
We can get through this bill. We're almost done. Section 20 is the SIP modifications for the co-ops and munis in the old omnibus bill, another compromise. And the change was commerce still has the authority to accept or reject the plan. So I think that was another good change. Section 22 is the transmission line project reporting. That was in the old bill, a department bill. Section 28 is the residential weatherization program, another department. Section 29 is the commerce technical language. Section 30 is the Spiritwood exemption. Spiritwood is the 99-megawatt coal plant out of North Dakota. And this allows the Great River Energy to import the electricity into Minnesota. This is a very strong compromise from the governor's office, and we include it in this bill. Section 33 is the Melrose PUC membership, and Section 34 is all repealers. Madam President, thank you very much for your indulgence, and members, I ask for your support and open for questions.
Discussion on Senate File 1197. Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President. If Senator Rosen would yield.
Senator Rosen will yield. Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Rosen, I was trying to follow along as best I could with you. But my question is about the innovative, I think it's Section 16. Can you just help us understand? We had, as you probably recall, I think Senator Tomasoni recalls, we had some conversation about this. I believe this is the Mesaba or the Excelsior plant up in northeastern Minnesota that was going to be coal gasification. Now it's a natural gas plant. How is this provision different than what we considered in our committee when we heard that?
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President, and Senator Dibble. There is no difference in what we heard in committee and what this language is today.
Senator Dibble.
So, Madam President, then if I'm not mistaken, it's simply a natural gas power plant. What is the innovative aspect of that? I mean, the reasons that previously it received so much consideration in terms of permitting and loan guarantees and grants from the Renewable Development Fund and the like was that it was an innovative energy project. Now it seems to be kind of a standard issue natural gas power plant. So how are we construing it to be innovative so it now qualifies for the special environmental regulatory treatment?
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President, Senator Dibble. This what's in the language right now would extend the state benefits to a natural gas plant as a phase one project. So that's where it's at, and subject to completion of a power purchase agreement, and that's the most important thing right there, with the intention of adding coal technology at a later date. The language would also grant benefits originally assigned to an innovative project to a traditional gas-fired power plant in the short term, and applies the approved environmental impact statement for the original coal gasification plant to a natural gas plant. And so there is many permits that have already been granted on this. Many dollars have been spent on this. We need to move forward with this project before they run out. And Senator Tomassoni, if you have any further comments on this, I would appreciate it.
Further discussion, Senator Dibble.
So, well, thank you, Madam President. Well, I think the concerns remain the same, and I understand you've done quite a bit of work, and let me commend you for that. And I see significant compromise throughout the bill on a number of other subjects. But I think on this particular piece, Senator Rosen, this is a fairly different proposal. It's not unique. It's not innovative. There are some differences that warrant at least some cursory environmental examination. It's not what it was before. There's some serious question about where the natural gas is going to come from, how it's going to get there, what the implications are. And as I read this, it says, all the studies that have been done on the previous proposal, different fuel source, different idea, are simply going to be construed as valid for this particular facility. And now this is kind of going to be a standard issue natural gas gas fired plant. And so I don't understand why we once again, after all that we've done for this particular facility, it once again gets a special treatment, special exemption, and kind of gets waved through process.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President, and Senator Dibble. I think the permitting process for a coal plant would actually be more difficult than this natural gas plant, but this project is going to have a direct effect on construction jobs for the mining industry. And actually, when you look at what we have going forward, this is the really only viable project we have for baseload energy in the future. And I think it's something that we have to respect because they already have their regulatory permits. And those will expire if this project does not move forward. So we know that this project has been in the works for many, many years, somewhat controversial, but I believe that the language that's in place now is quite doable and very benign, actually, and it's going to move a project forward that we are going to need in the future, and especially the northern region is going to need in the future for their expansion in the mining and the timber industry.
Further discussion on Senate File 1197? Seeing none, Senator Rosen renews her motion that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House on Senate File 1197 and that the bill be placed on its repassage as amended. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. The Secretary will give Senate File 1197 its third reading.
Senate File Number 1197, a bill for an act related to energy. Third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on Senate File 1197. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 49 ayes and 16 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Secretary will read the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments, the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate file number 712, a bill for an act related to state lands. Senate file number 712 is herewith returned to the Senate. Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Members, did anyone hear what the Secretary read? All of a sudden it got really, really loud again. So please, please keep the noise level down. Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Madam President. I'll use my loudest coach's voice. I move that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate file number 712 and that the bill be placed on its repassage as amended.
To that motion, Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Madam President. This is the DNR lands bill. We've seen this bill on the floor before. I won't bore anybody with it. The only amendment to this bill that came back from the House was the zoo in Apple Valley and the arrangement between Dakota County and the zoo. If you have any questions about that, I will refer to Senator Gerlach. But we've heard that amendment on this floor for other bills.
And Senator Carlson, the amendments to the bill are available. They were handed out there on members' desks. Discussion on Senate File 712. Seeing none, Senator Carlson renews his motion that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 712 and that the bill be placed on its repassage. I'm sorry. Senator Rest.
thank you, Madam President. I wonder if Senator Carlson would yield for a simple question.
Senator Carlson will yield. Senator Rest.
Madam President, Senator Carlson, do you know what the vote on this bill was in the House?
Member Senator Carlson couldn't hear Senator Rest. This is a very good example. So, Senator Rest, could you repeat the question?
Yes, Madam President. Senator Carlson, do you know what the vote on this bill was in the House?
Senator Carlson, she's been inquiring about the vote in the House.
Thank you, Madam
Senator
President.
Carlson.
And Senator Rest, I don't know what the vote was. I don't know what it was in the House. I know in the Senate floor it was 100% passage the first time we heard the lands bill, and the amendment is the same language that we heard on the zoological agreement with Dakota County, and that was a non-controversial also. But I don't know what the vote was in the House. I'm sorry.
So, Senator Rest.
So, Madam President, I'm just assuming then that this bill was without controversy in the House as it came back to us. Would that be correct as far as you understand, Senator Carlson, if you would yield?
Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Madam President. And Senator Rest, that is correct. This is a non-controversial bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Madam President.
Senator Rest, I am being told that it was 123-7 in the House. Further discussion on Senate File 712. Seeing none, Senator Carlson renews his motion that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 712 and that the bill be placed on its repassage as amended. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. The Secretary will give Senate File 712 its third reading.
Senate File number 712, a bill for an act relating to state lands, third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on Senate File 712. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 65 ayes and no nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Excuse me. Secretary will read the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House has adopted the recommendation report of the Conference Committee on Senate File Number 86 and repassed said bill in accordance with the report of the committee. So adopted. Senate File 86, a bill for an act relating to energy. Senate File 86 is herewith returned to the Senate. Albin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives. Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House refuses to concur in the Senate amendments to House File Number 1023. House File 1023, a bill for an act related to judiciary. The House respectfully requests that the Conference Committee of three members be appointed thereon. Smith, Szymanski, and Johnson have been appointed as such committee on the part of the House. House File Number 1023 is herewith transmitted to the Senate with a request that the Senate appoint a like committee. Albin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the Senate accede to the request of the House for a conference committee on House File Number 1023 and that a conference committee of three members be appointed by the Subcommittee on Conference Committees on the part of the Senate to act with the like conference committee appointed on the part of the House.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Koch.
Madam President, I move for a brief recess for the purpose of appointing conference committees.
Senator Koch has moved for a brief recess. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. We are in recess.
President, is there a report at the desk?
Actually, Senate will come to order. Senator Koch.
Is there a report at the desk, Madam President?
Yes, there is. The Secretary will read the report.
Senator Koch from the Subcommittee on Conference Committee recommends that the following senators be and they hereby are appointed as a conference committee on House File 1381, Senators Olson, Nelson, DeKreif, Bonhoff, and Daley. House File 1234, Senators Carlson, Perry, Gazelka. House File 1011, Senators Ingebretson, Peterson, Skoy. House File 1023, Senators Limmer, Harrington, Newman. Senator Koch moves that the foregoing appointments be approved.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Remaining under motions and resolutions, we'll take messages from the House. Secretary will read the message.
Madam. Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House has adopted the recommendation report of the Conference Committee on House File Number 954. And repass said bill in accordance with the report of the committee. So adopted. House File 954, a bill for an act relating to counties. House File 954 is herewith transmitted to the Senate. Albin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Stumpf.
Thank you, Madam Chair, or Madam President. And members, this is a local bill that we had discussed.
Senator Stumpf, you need to make the motion first. Thank you.
I move that when the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on House File 954 be now adopted and the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee.
To that motion, Senator Stumpf.
Madam President, this was a local bill. Two adjoining counties in my Senate district had requested that they would be allowed to appoint the auditor, recorder, and treasurer positions. And what happened when the bill came from the House originally is that a floor amendment had been put on to add two counties in southern Minnesota that were not in accord they had not requested to be part of it. So we tried to adopt an amendment that would just limit it to the two counties in my district that had requested it, that had gone through the committee process and was passed on the floor. In conference committee, we cleaned up the language. It was mainly clerical cleaning up and making sure that the legislation, as you can see, references those two counties, Kitson and Marshall counties, and then there was one other provision that was added, and that was a provision that after 3 years that it could be, the offices could be reverted back to elected offices with a process spelled out on how that would be done. So there's, I think, adequate provisions that both counties know about and are very comfortable with. There's a little extra time, a month's time in the process after the board passes a resolution. And so I'm quite comfortable that this is something that will help those counties move forward in their effort to do some reforming in their local governments. So I'd ask for your support.
Further discussion on House File 954. Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam President. Would Senator Stump yield?
Senator Stump will yield. Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Stump, I may have missed your description. Do the citizens get to vote on this?
Senator Stump.
Madam President, Senator Nelson, no, they do not vote on it unless there is a petition. After the county passes a resolution, there's a period of 2 months that they can do a reverse referendum. It takes 10% of the voters that can initiate the reverse referendum. So basically, that's the trigger for the local communities to vote. Then the original, most of of these bills usually have a one-month period after the county passes a resolution, and then they, seek out. They have some public meetings and stuff. We've put the House put 2 months in, so we accepted the 2 months, which is a little longer period for the county to do that. So that's in the bill.
Further discussion on House File 54, Senator Perry.
Thank you, Madam President. Would Senator Stump yield?
Senator Stump will yield. Senator Perry.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Stump, I get a little nervous when we do things like taking the rights away from our citizens to vote. Are you confident that the citizens in these counties actually understand what's happening here? I mean, has there been plenty of notification? Or has this been just generated by the county boards? I guess I want to know that you're actually that comfortable that the citizens know exactly what's going on in your Senate district with these counties.
Senator Stump.
Madam President and Senator Perry, yes, I'm confident that the process is one that is quite open. And I believe... not only do the citizen have the discussions taken place, but the process in doing this will also generate a lot of openness in terms of the meetings that the counties will hold, and then the reverse referendum is also a process that's quite easy. 10% is a low threshold, so you have that process in place. I think these counties realize that as the population goes down, they're searching for ways to try to operate a little differently, and I think that's why both of the counties, Kitson and Marshall, and the offices that they're looking at appointing to have retirements coming in at the appropriate time. So I think all of those things are coming together at the right time.
I have Senator Newman, then Senator Nelson. Senator Newman.
Thank you, Madam President. Will Senator Stump yield?
Senator Stump will yield. Senator Newman.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Stump, I want to thank you for your explanation as to the involvement of your folks at a local level. But could you give me what your rationale would be as to why you're not going to allow them to vote on this measure after having had all of this input? It just seems odd to me that we're going to restrict the right of the folks at a local level to vote on their own fate.
Senator Stump.
Madam President, and I did explain that, but I think the discussion when we brought the bill up the last time was maybe it was a little too noisy in the chamber, I'm not sure. But the rationale that the counties, and both counties are having the same rationale, is that if we pass this legislation and allow the counties to go through this process, it will save 3 years, or a little over 3 years, for them to go ahead and do this versus waiting until 2012 and then putting it on the ballot. At that point, there would be a new county auditor, new elected officials that would be elected to fill those positions, and then you'd have to wait for that office to become vacant. And so I think the counties are asking that they would have the opportunity to move forward more quickly than to wait that period of time, those number of years.
Senator Nelson. Senator Nelson passes. Further discussion on House File 954. Senator Howe.
Madam President, would Senator Stump yield for a question?
Senator Stump will yield. Senator Howe.
Madam President, I'm wondering, this is a 10% for a reversionary petition on there. That's a pretty large geographical area. Any thought to what that number is? And I think that's provided for in law, but I'm just wondering if that percent is maybe a little too high given the fact that we're giving the authority to the county boards to make this decision in the first place.
Senator Stump.
Madam President and Senator House, I think the as you know, those counties up in my district, some of them are quite small. Kitson County is relatively, I believe the population is somewhere around 3,700. So it's not a large population base. Marshall County is a little bit larger, but I don't, you know, I feel comfortable with that number, the 10%, and so I don't think there'd be any problem with that.
Further discussion, Senator Langseth.
Madam President, you know, we've heard all session that local units of government need to get more efficient. This is just one small step towards doing that. A debate that I had during the campaign, both sides of the political aisle, and we were debating down in a very small, low-populated county, we all agreed that some of these small counties were going to have to join together and cooperate on these different county offices. And this is just a small step towards that. And now all of a sudden, they're not supposed to do that. We have been doing this year after year. And this will allow them to take one small step towards becoming more efficient. And all of a sudden, now that seems to be a bad idea.
Further discussion on House File 954. Senator Perry.
Madam President, Senator Langseth, I don't think that's what I heard here tonight. What I heard was just some clarifying. I think we're all kind of excited. We're just a little concerned, and we just wanted to make sure that Senator Stump was comfortable, and he's made us, I think, feel comfortable. We think it's a great idea for innovation. We've been talking about that all session, and hopefully this will work out very, very well.
Further discussion on House File 954. Seeing none, Senator Stump renews his motion that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on House File 954 be now adopted and the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The motion does prevail. Secretary will give House File 954 its third reading.
House File number 954, bill for an act relating to counties, third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on House File 954. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 36 ayes and 28 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Secretary will read the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House has adopted a recommendation report of the Conference Committee on House File number 1144 and repassed said bill in accordance with the report of the committee so adopted. House File 1144, bill for an act relating to state government. House File 1144 is herewith transmitted to the Senate. Alban A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on House File 1144 be now adopted and the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee.
To that motion, Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Madam President. If members will remember, this is a CGIP reinstatement. The difference between the House and the Senate was in the Senate we added an amendment that would make the MMB offer automatic funds transfer for the retired employees. The concern and the reason for the amendment is to remove that amendment because of the cost The MMB already has indicated that they are in the process of doing that, and so rather than make them have to do it within the next couple months, they're going to get it done within the next about 6 months to a year. Thank you.
Further discussion on House File 1144. Seeing none, Senator Carlson renews his motion that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on House File 1144 be now adopted and the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. The secretary will give House File 1144 its third reading.
House File Number 1144, a bill for an act relating to state government, third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on House File 1144. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 51 ayes and 14 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Meeting under motions and resolutions, Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. Having voted on the prevailing side, I move that the vote whereby Senate File 1197 was passed by the Senate on May 22, 2011 be now reconsidered. The motion prevailed, so the vote was reconsidered. Madam President, there's a senator or two that would like to vote for the bill. They will remain anonymous, but they're small, cute, little petite little thing. And I would say I'd like to give her a chance to vote for it.
Any discussion on Senator Rosen's motion? On Senator Rosen's motion to discuss or to reconsider Senate File 1197, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. We have in front of us Senate File 1197. The secretary will take the roll. All those senators having voted? All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 52 ayes and 13 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Remaining under motions and resolutions, Senator Koch.
Madam President, pursuant to Rule 26, I move that we take up the following bills for immediate under special orders for immediate consideration. House File 264, House File 232, and House File 1219.
Thank you, Senator Koch. Under special orders, we will start with House File 264. Senator Han.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the amendment made to House File 264 by the Committee on Rules and Administration in the report adopted May 21st, 2011, pursuant to Rule 45, be stricken.
Explanation of that motion, Senator Han.
Thank you, Madam President and members. This is a companion bill. The House bill is a companion to Senate File 160, the Personal Responsibility and Food Consumption Act, otherwise known as the Cheeseburger Bill. This was a bill that has been worked on for a number of years by one of our colleagues in the other body, Representative Burdahl. I was the companion author a few years ago, but he has been working it over in the other body. They have passed the bill. It has got a very minor language change from the bill that we passed in committee in the Senate. And so to expedite the passage of the bill, we are wishing to adopt the House language here and act on that and hopefully pass it from this body.
Discussion of Senator Han's motion. Senator Cohen.
Madam President, Senator Han would yield.
Senator Han will yield. Senator Cohen.
Senator Han, I'm just curious to know whether or not there are a significant number of problems that have taken place in the state if Burger King, McDonald's, Arby's, whatever, are under assault from these lawsuits, or if this is preventive in the hopes of maintaining these establishments.
Senator Han.
Thank you, Madam President. And Senator Cohen, this is a bill that I think there is a handout that's being distributed to members on the floor. It has a significant amount of support from a lot of job providers, manufacturers, retailers in the food and agricultural industry. This is an issue that has been addressed by 23 other states. I think that in the spirit of trying to do things that would encourage job creation and retention in the state of Minnesota, this would be one of those things that we could do that would be of assistance in that effort. Again, this is an issue that's been before this body before in previous sessions, and we think it merits consideration and would urge people to accept the motion and act favorably on the bill.
Further discussion on Senator Han's motion. Seeing none, Senator Han renews his motion that the amendments made to House File 264 by the Committee on Rules and Administration in the report adopted May 21st, 2011, pursuant to Rule 45, be stricken. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Han, to any further discussion on House File 264?
Madam President, before we take a vote on the final passage, I do want members to know that what the difference in the language was that as this bill made its way through the Senate in the Judiciary Committee, there was a phrase that was in the language it is found on if you're looking at the House or the Senate file 2.7 and 2.8. The phrase is if the violation is knowing and willful. We struck that language in the Judiciary Committee. The bill in the other body did not strike that language, so by acting on the language from the other body, that particular language that we struck in the Senate is back in the bill, and it would be in the language that the bill has passed. But members, this is simply a bill that would restrict the ability of anyone to bring a lawsuit against a food manufacturer, retailer, on the basis of obesity claims only with respect to food consumption. It does not prohibit any action or activity to go after mislabeling or other bad behavior on the part of a manufacturer or supplier, but simply if the claim is you made a product, I consume too much of it, I have a obesity problem, and I am going to file a suit against you for the problem that I have in my overconsumption. So that's all that this does, is prohibit lawsuits based on obesity.
Further discussion of House File 264. Senator Rest.
Thank you, Madam President. Would Senator Han yield for a question?
Senator Han will yield. Senator Rest.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Han, this bill was taken up by the House this evening. Is that correct? And do you know what the vote was?
Senator Han.
Madam President, I believe that the other body passed this bill couple of days ago and was sent over here. I believe there was a waiting period before we could take it up. I'm not sure what the process was, but they have passed this bill, so by our acting on this, it would be sent to the governor.
Madam President, my question was, what was the vote on the bill? I thought it was this evening, but if it was a couple of days ago, do you know what the vote was? Was it controversial?
Senator Han?
Madam President, Senator Rest, I asked the author in the other body. I have not looked it up. I believe there were about, I'm trying to recall. I think there were, I guess I can't, I don't want to speak. I can't remember, but I don't recall. I'd have to look it up.
Senator Lurie, I think you have something to add to the conversation.
Madam President, I just looked it up online. It passed 76 to 56.
Madam President, yes.
Senator Han?
Our research just informed me of that. It did pass with bipartisan support.
Further discussion on House File 264. Senator Newman.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, I'm going to stand in opposition to this bill. I don't think it's any secret that this is not one of my favorite pieces of legislation. I'm going to try and be very respectful of your time, and I'm going to be succinct in my remarks. It's very difficult to oppose this bill on the merits of the legislation, because what it's doing is outlawing a cause of action that never in the history of the state of Minnesota has ever been brought. And so from that standpoint, it's really quite difficult to address the bill on its merits. But having said that, I want to assure you that I'm not standing here addressing you on this bill from the standpoint of being a lawyer. I'm no longer a member of the Minnesota Trial Lawyers Association. I'm no longer a member of the Minnesota State Bar Association. I'm no longer a member of the Academy of Certified Trial Lawyers in Minnesota. I'm just standing here addressing you as a member who happens to have a law degree, and I do have a certain respect for the Constitution in this state. And I am hoping that by my remarks tonight, I'm going to cause some consternation for those of you who consider the Constitution a document that we really and truly have to abide by, even when we don't necessarily agree with what it might stand for. And by that I mean we can't pick and choose those parts of the Constitution that we're going to agree with and support, and then disagree with a different part and choose to act otherwise. And in this particular case, that's exactly what's happening. There is a culture, if you will, in the state of Minnesota that we all love to hate lawyers, and quite frankly, that's fine. I almost don't disagree with you. But what we have is a situation where we are going to, because we don't like litigation and don't like lawyers, we are going to simply ignore the plain meaning of our Constitution. And what our Constitution says is that we have the right of redress for injuries to our wrongs. Now, Again, I'm not speaking to the merits of a cause of action to sue if you eat too many cheeseburgers and get fat. What I'm talking about is what our Constitution says. And what it says is every person is entitled to a certain remedy in the laws for all injuries or wrongs which he may receive to his person and to obtain justice freely and without purchase, completely and without denial. That's what our Constitution says. And what this bill purports to do is to remove that right to do just that. And what we have to remember is that the filter through which we are to run these spurious and frivolous causes of actions, which this bill purports to cure, is that of the right of the jury trial. And our Constitution again says that the right of the jury trial shall remain inviolate and shall extend to all cases at law without regard to the amount in controversy. So in one fell swoop, what we are doing is simply picking a portion out of our Constitution that we're not going to abide by because we don't like trial lawyers and we don't like litigation. And I'm simply expressing to you that is not the way to handle this problem. I would argue that instead of outlawing or prohibiting the cause of action, there are certain procedures that we could put in place that would address the problem. Now, I tried that in committee with some amendments regarding a very, very stringent requirement for attorney's fees, and that amendment was voted down. I thought about bringing an amendment tonight to address this problem, and instead of prohibiting the cause of action, we would treat it similar to, for instance, medical malpractice cases, where we would require affidavits of expert review and run it through the expert review process before you have the cause of action. And so we wouldn't be eliminating or prohibiting the cause of action. We would simply procedurally make it much more difficult. And to me, that's a much better way to go about it than to simply take a stand against a provision of our Constitution and outlaw what amounts to being a products liability claim. So again, I'm not arguing against the prohibition of this as much as I am taking a stand, and I want all of you who have been out on the campaign trail and talked about the fact that the Constitution means what it says and that we are to observe what the Constitution says. And I want to bring it to your attention in hopes that I'll cause you a little bit of consternation when you take this vote tonight. Thank you, members. Madam President.
Further discussion on House File 264. Secretary will give Senate File 260 or House File 260. Oh, I'm sorry, Senator Hahn.
Thank you, Madam President. And just very quickly, I appreciate Senator Newman's comments and his thoughtfulness in approaching this. And we did have a frank discussion, full discussion, lengthy discussion in Judiciary on this bill. And with all respect, I don't agree with his understanding of the Constitution. And just members, this is aimed at what are called frivolous lawsuits. Certainly, we all recognize the cost to businesses and employers when they have to prepare to defend a lawsuit that even if it gets ultimately thrown out of court, there's still a cost to prepare it to defend it. And those costs are not necessary, and they add to costs that businesses have to bear. So this is, I think, about common sense, just recognizing that there are some actions that we really shouldn't have to entertain the seriousness of, and this being one. We all have responsibility for what we choose to do. If we choose to do certain things and there are consequences, we ought to bear the responsibility of them and not pass those costs on to our businesses and employers. And I would urge support for the bill. Thank you.
Senator Howe.
Madam President, would Senator Newman yield for a question?
Senator Newman will yield. Senator Howe.
Madam President, I'm wondering if this bill does prevail and does get signed into law, would there be an opportunity or would this be overturned at a higher court level and found to be unconstitutional? In your opinion, Senator Newman?
Senator Newman.
Madam President, Senator Howe, I can only express an opinion, and my opinion would be this. Is number one, I cannot imagine in my wildest dreams any lawsuit coming forward on the basis of what is being prohibited by this bill. I've never heard of such a thing in the state of Minnesota. But if we were to assume for a moment that a products liability case is prohibited by the legislature and goes on appeal, either to the Court of Appeals or to the Supreme Court, in my opinion, if we simply prohibit that cause of action, in my opinion, there would be a very good chance it would be overturned by the Supreme Court. And again, it's simply my opinion. But none of us know what those seven Supremes are going to do in any particular case. But given the fact that this bill is directed, in my opinion, directly at a provision of the Constitution, I think there would be a good chance it would be overturned.
Further discussion, Senator Hahn.
Thank you, Madam President. And just again, this is not a prohibition of product liability lawsuits. Anyone who finds a product that has been falsely represented or has other damaging characteristics to it, those lawsuits are not prohibited by this bill. This is a prohibition of frivolous lawsuits. It has really nothing to do with the product. It has to do with whether or not individuals can take a claim to a court and blame a third party, a company, a retailer, a manufacturer, a producer for decisions that they have made. With respect to how much food they have consumed. That's all this is. This is very common sense. I again point to you to the number of organizations that support this. This bill has been, or similar bills have been passed in 23 states. There has never been a case where this has been overturned by a court on the basis of constitutionality.
Senator Newman.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, I respectfully disagree with Senator Hahn. When he makes his comment that this bill does not prohibit lawsuits, it only prohibits frivolous lawsuits. A frivolous lawsuit is a fact question that would be determined either by the judge on a motion on the pleadings or a motion for summary judgment or a jury. If it's frivolous or if it's a spurious lawsuit, it has nothing to do with the base cause of action. And so what this bill does is it prohibits a type of products liability case.
Further discussion on House File 264. Secretary will give Senate or House File 264 its third reading.
House File number 264, Bill for an Act related to civil actions, third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on House File 264. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 34 ayes and 31 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Moving down the list on special orders, we'll take up House File 232, Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, House File 232 is the Gold Star license plate eligibility expansion. Members, this is another license plate bill, but it regards to the under current law, only surviving spouses and parents of a soldier who died in active military service are eligible to display Gold Star special license plates. This bill expands eligibility to include legal guardians and siblings. Currently, Gold Star special license plates are provided to surviving spouses and parents at no cost. To recover the cost of providing these plates, members, drivers and vehicle services uses money available in the Support Our Troops special license plate account. I ask for your support.
Further discussion on House File 232. Senator Sharon.
Thank you, Madam President. I have an amendment. It is the A33 amendment.
Senator Sharon offers the A33 amendment.
A53, excuse me.
Senator Sharon offers the A53 amendment. The secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Sharon moves to amend House File number 232 as follows, page 1, line 14, after guardian, insert. This is the A53 amendment.
Discussion to the amendment. Senator Sharon.
Thank you very much. I have discussed this with Senator Ingebrigtsen. In a very similar bill that I had introduced this year, very similar language with the exception of adding also to the list of persons who would be eligible for this license plate would be a guardian or a child. Would be a child. So this amendment adds the child also as eligible for this plate. And on page 1, line 15, there's language that's added to allow for the definition of the relationship that would purport to be a child. I've discussed this with Senator Ingebrigtsen. I don't think he has objections to this amendment, and I'm hoping that you all will support this addition.
Senator Sharon, because of the Rule 45 that was adopted, it is the A51 amendment that is actually that would actually fit into the bill. So if you would withdraw the A53 and then offer the A51, it will be the correct amendment. And they are exactly the same with the exception of drawn to the correct bill.
So move.
Thank you, Senator Sharon. So we are on any discussion to the A51 amendment. Oh, Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President. And yes, I did speak with Senator Sharon and ask members to support this as a friendly amendment.
Further discussion on the A51 amendment? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. The amendment is adopted. Further discussion on House File 232. Secretary will give House File 232, its third reading.
House File number 232, a bill for an act relating to state government, third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on House File 232. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 65 ayes and no nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Under motions and resolutions, we'll take up the consent calendar, or excuse me, the confirmation calendar. Sorry. And they are available. We've just gotten some, so we will be handing these out. And they are online. They are available online unless you want a hard copy. Senator Vanderveer.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the report from the Committee on Local Government and Elections, reported May 19, 2011, pertaining to appointments to the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board, be taken from the table.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The motion does prevail. Senator Vanderveer.
I move that the foregoing report be now adopted.
On that motion, maybe you want to explain that motion, Senator Vanderveer? Oh, you don't need to explain it at this point. On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Vanderveer.
I move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Local Government and Elections, reported May 19, 2011, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointment of Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board Andrew Luger and Deanna Weiner.
Discussion to that motion, Senator Vanderveer, or discussion to that motion? Seeing none, Senator Vanderveer renews his motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail.
Madam President,
Senator Koch.
First, I'd like to call for a brief recess for the purposes of today. There were some tornadoes that came through, and particularly Minneapolis, but throughout the state. And so, I thought we might take a moment, and I would turn the floor. I would move to recess, and then turn the floor to Senator Higgins.
On Senator Koch's motion to recess, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. We are in recess. Senator Higgins.
Madam President and fellow senators, today a quarter-mile-wide tornado ripped through North Minneapolis. And I was out this afternoon and walking around and seeing the destruction. Gosh, I thought I could do this. And it is a lot. We are going to be cleaning up after this tornado for a very long time. Would you please join me in a moment of silence for those who have lost their lives and those who are without a home, without heat, without, well, we don't need heat, without power, and without a chunk of my community. Thank you.
Thank you, members. Senator Koch. Oh. Senator will come to order. Senator Koch.
Thank you, Madam President. I would now move that we do adjourn. Do you have, unless you have announcements? Absence.
I have several excuses. Without objection, the following senators will be excused for the day. Senator Scheid all day and Senator Berglund from 9 o'clock till the end of session. Without objection, they're excused. Any further announcements of Senate interest? Senator Bach.
Madam President, would Senator Koch yield for a question?
Senator Koch will yield. Senator Bach.
Madam President, Senator Koch, there's about 25 and a half hours left in this legislative session. I think it might be helpful if you could speak to the body about how the conversations are coming with the governor and if we're going to be able to get a budget enacted before midnight tomorrow night.
Senator Koch.
Thank you, Senator Bach. The conversations continue, and we are available all evening and continuing into the morning. Individual committees have been meeting with the individual chairs as well as the governor, and those meetings have been quite productive. There are additional meetings going on at various levels, and as you all know, there is a balanced budget on the governor's desk waiting for signature.
Senator Bach.
Well, Madam President, Senator Koch, let me strongly encourage you to find some common ground with the governor. Minnesotans sent us here to get this budget enacted by our constitutional deadline of the 23rd of May, and I would encourage you to try find that common ground with him between over the next 25 and a half hours so we can get this done and people can, those of us that are rural at least can go back home to our families for the summer and not have to deal with a potential special session.
Further announcements of Senate interest. Senator Koch.
Thank you, Madam President. Then I would do now move that we adjourn until Monday, May 23rd at 10 a.m. 10 a.m., members.
Senator Koch moves we adjourn until Monday, May 23rd at 10 a.m. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. We are adjourned.